Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
Hi, this is Darren Root, and you are listening to episode 31 of Tech to Go. First, I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for today's podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Microsoft kind of versus Google and where that's going, and also Intuit's view on SaaS, software as a service, kind of why they bought PayCycle and what that might mean to their customers. Again, I'm Darren Root, the executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor magazine, and I'm here today with my regular co-host, Renee Lassert and Dave McClure. Renee is the CEO and founder of Bill.com, and Dave is the president of the U.S. Internet Industry Association. Randy Johnston, our other typical guest, is not in the country today, so he won't be with us. So welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you guys with us today. So let's just get started. We're going to do this for about 30 minutes today, so why don't we just get started a little bit with the Google versus Microsoft. Dave, why don't you start us off with that, and we can just kind of talk about it.
Well, it's war. It's fascinating that Google actually threw down the gauntlet. They issued a press release saying, okay, Microsoft, it's war now. We're coming after you. We're going to take our Chrome browser, and we're going to turn it into an operating system, and we're coming after your operating system browser business. But interestingly, it was Microsoft who fired the first shot in this war when they premiered their Bing service, which is the new search engine. Now, we don't know a lot about Bing. I've used it extensively over the last month or so since it debuted. It doesn't seem to be a bad service overall. But the real question is whether it actually can ever compete with Google for the search business. And that's where things get very touchy, because Microsoft doesn't want to see all of its ad revenue dollars going to Google over the search issue. So they debuted Bing, which is supposed to be a Google search engine killer. Google comes back and says, okay, we're going to attack your operating system core business. And now the two are at war with all kinds of fascinating ramifications, not the least of which is the rumor emerging about a week ago that Google was going to buy Twitter to substantially strengthen its real-time capabilities for search.
Wow. So you also have, you have Google Docs that's out there, and then you have Office Live, and then Microsoft's announced as well that, they're going to have Office, 2010 or 2010 out, in the clouds, and they're going to offer some of that up for free. So what does that mean, do you think?
Well, here's the other interesting aspect of all of that. Yes, they're going to war but of course that war's been developing anyway over the productivity things. The much more interesting play is, like Napoleon and Hitler turning and attacking Russia out of the blue, Microsoft then announces that it's going to kill off Trend Micro and Symantec by withdrawing its paid product for desktop security and introducing a new system this fall that will be completely free. So, boy, it's turning out to be an interesting war, and I'll make a prediction that the big winner in this war is going to be consumers, because they're going to get more things at a lower cost than they ever could have gotten if these dynamos stayed in stasis.
Yeah.
Well,
Renee, this is your backyard. What do you hear out there?
Well, there clearly is a lot at stake. I mean, Microsoft had their earnings announcement wasn't so great this last quarter, right? I mean, they're still making a ton of money, but it was, if I remember correctly, they actually had a decline. So, they understand that Google is taking away, all the billions of dollars that Google is getting in profits every year could have been. And so that's why it's heating up. And I think Google saw this a lot sooner and did do the Google Docs. They've had that thing going for 3 years. They've had, Microsoft bought Hotmail long ago, but is I think the Gmail Hotmail thing. There's just they are definitely going head to head, and it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I think people would have said, let's all root for Google and let's have them take on the Mahomes and now I think folks are kind of looking at it and say, well, they say do no evil, but is it evil? Right? Yeah. So there are people asking the question, is Google evil? So it's interesting because they do have a lot of control over what goes on with the web because they are the dominant player.
Well, I mean, it's one of those, be careful what you wish for because you might get it.
Right.
I'm kind of like you. I was all, I was kind of rooting for Google there for a while. And now all of a sudden you've got these two giants in this space that are kind of vying for the same space, it seems like, anymore. So that's pretty interesting. Any other thoughts on that, Dave?
Yeah, one other one, and that is Google's business model is to collect as much of your personal information as they can. Chrome is designed to track you all over the Internet, and from a personal standpoint, security and privacy, I'm very nervous about a company with the business model Google has suddenly wanting access to my entire desktop and computer. Microsoft probably has been not entirely clean in the privacy department, but they got slapped around pretty hard by the federal government, as Google is about to be slapped, I think. But I'm still very nervous about using any Google product, knowing that its back office purpose is to collect my private data and sell it to advertisers.
Right. I think that's I think that's one of the big things with the difference between, SaaS and Google Apps, and we'll talk about SaaS in a little bit, but when you don't pay for something, you're going to have to pay for it somehow, and it's advertising, and advertising needs data, and it's all interesting, and probably all of it's fine, but it seems in general that folks aren't that worried about it. But I tend to agree with Dave. It's like, if I got my finances or I got my documents, I don't want anybody reading that stuff. I want to just know that I paid for it, and it's mine. And I think that's one of the challenges, because I do think there will be a backlash over time as people realize that their data is being used to sell to them other things that they don't want, or if some data gets leaked that they don't want to get leaked or whatever. And so it's something that we have to be careful. And it's why I've had lots of VCs say, why don't you go for a free model and do advertising? You've got great financial data. And I said, this is people's financial data. They don't want me to sell that. This is theirs. So
right. And that's the big challenge is as we kind of rush to move things out to the web. And, there's a lot of us doing that. Dave's always a nice calming voice of reason as to think about what you're doing, because, everybody doesn't have the best of intentions on the other end.
Well, and not everybody's educated enough about what goes on online. I'm still stunned today. We're 15 years into the Internet, and there are still people who respond to ads, to enhance portions of your body. I mean, it's ridiculous what people will respond to, thinking it's a good deal if it's free.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonder what the whole Office 2010 being free on, on Office Live, what that really means. I mean, I'm assuming in the article I read indicates, we're going to still have a desktop version. There's just going to be an easy way to share your documents. I don't suspect anybody's just going to use the web version for free and not have to have an ownership. Do you guys know anything about that?
I've only I think I probably read the same article, and it wasn't clear other than that there would be a very light version that was web-based, that was free, that would be advertising-based. So that's
okay.
Kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah, and there's not
if you want the real features. Yeah, if you want the real features, you're going to have to upgrade. I mean, that's the it's an interesting strategy, because for the folks that are just starting to learn any Office products, probably the web versions are fine. But for people that are power users, like probably all of us, it takes a long time for the web to kind of catch up to the functionality that we're used to. So it's an interesting game of cat and mice.
I definitely think that's true. I mean, I use Google Docs a little bit, nothing overly critical, but we track a few things out there that we need to collaborate with some other people on, and certainly it's not Excel on my desktop.
Right.
So it's definitely a much greater
And that is where, I mean, you know, Microsoft, I guess, as part of this war, you know, probably, you know, what, 3 or 4 months ago, announced that they were going to be dropping the price of the operating system and doing some other things. And Dave probably knows more about that. But and so, you know, their earnings are taking a little bit of pressure on that. But their Office suite, you know, so far hasn't shown any lack of ability to produce profits. And I think this whole Op 2010 is really based on, you know, their concern that Google is going to get traction with Docs and they need to start having a product that competes.
But again, I'll go back to, and I don't want to drift us off course today. We can get back into this another time. I'm not keen on the whole idea of cloud computing. I think it's fraught with risk. I think if your data is spread all over the world at servers you have no idea where, they may be ruled by national governments with far different rules than we have. And I, for one, wouldn't want to see my client data in the hands of the Russian mafia, for example. So we'll come back to that one, but that's an excellent point, Renee.
Yeah, I think that's a good topic for we could spend quite a bit of time on, but I think you do have to know who you're doing business with.
Yeah. That's why you should check and make sure they're SAS 70s and understand the backing of the company. And I think, you know, to Dave's point, you know, as the companies get really big and for performance, they have servers all over the world so that they can, you know, give the same performance. It is unclear, you know, what the government can do with that data. So, you know, it's that is one of the risks, and to me that would be a very interesting topic. I mean, obviously being a SAS entrepreneur, I kind of think that's a minor penalty to pay for the benefits you get, but that's be a great topic to talk about.
Well, it's a nice segue into our other topic was, I mentioned is Intuit's views on SaaS. You know, they just purchased PayCycle, which Renee, you were the founder of PayCycle, so I'd be interested to talk about, you know, what Intuit's views are on SaaS, you know, kind of why they bought PayCycle and what does that really mean to customers. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, I think what Intuit's seen in the last couple of years, you know, with the rise of Brad Smith to the CEO position, is that they've started looking around outside and seeing that there's other interesting things going on that aren't happening at Intuit. And as part of that, you know, what they're seeing is that SaaS is kind of taking over in the Valley, right? I mean, all the companies that are getting funded from a software perspective in Silicon Valley are SaaS-based companies, and it's the value of the data in the cloud and what you can do as a software provider for customers is just pretty compelling. And I think as they've seen some of these applications come together, it's made them take a closer look at it. So they have, you know, by the way, I mean, Intuit has QuickBooks Online, which is probably, you know, the one of the largest SaaS platforms out there, and they've been out there with that for, you know, 9 years. And they were actually slowly, you know, not investing in it. And since Brad's come back since he's been the CEO, they've been starting to invest more aggressively in that. And so I think, you know, when they were looking at their payroll efforts, they, you know, saw us and at PayCycle and continually thought that they needed to compete with us because of the leadership position we had and the technology that we had and the way that our technology was built. And after competing with us for a couple of years, I think they looked at it and said, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for us to just do more with what PayCycle has. And that's kind of how the conversations got started. I think the other example of how this was becoming front and center for Intuit is this Intuit Partner Platform that they announced, you know, maybe 15 months ago. I just talked with the guy who's a general manager of that group, and he, you know, disclosed, you know, all the different things that they're doing, and it does sound like they finally got something that's got legs when it comes to a partner platform, because they've been trying to do this for a while as well, but they're getting a number of applications up in the next version of QuickBooks, that, you know, many of them internally, some of them externally. And the exciting thing, if you're a SaaS, you know, executive, is that they are telling folks internally, if you're going to develop something new, you got to make it that it works with the IPP platform so that our customers can have the advantage of using this. So that's kind of their, you know, what it means, you know, from the perspective of why they're getting more interested in SaaS and what they're going to do with it. I think the reason they bought pay cycle was because of the customer service experience, which was enabled by a SaaS platform. I mean, our customers give us, when you look at the Net Promoter Score, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, but it's basically how many of your customers recommend you, less how many of your customers don't recommend you. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, anybody that gives you an 8, 9, or 10 saying, I would definitely have or definitely or probably will recommend, you take all those and you subtract out everybody that's less than 6. And so it's possible to have a score of negative 100, and it's possible to have a score of a positive 100. And, you know, pay cycle has been in the 70s and 80s the whole decade that we've been around, and higher than anything that Intuit has. And so when Intuit, you know, kind of looked at that, they kind of said, why are you able to deliver such a high score? And it always came back to, it's a SaaS solution, and because of that, we know our customers' data so that when they call up, we can actually help them much faster than you could ever help them. So I think that's actually really good news for customers, and this kind of gets into, you know, the next podcast that we do together if we want to make this the topic, is if you have companies that are using it well, you get a much better customer experience because the data is shared, customer service reps actually know what's going on, and it allows us to build new features and functionality at a much faster pace because the data is right there and you can test against it and work with it and make it all better. So I think that's, you know, why they bought it. And then as the last part of the question is, you know, what it means for customers. I think this is great for customers. I mean, everybody I've talked to at Intuit, from Scott Cook to Bill Campbell to Brad Smith, all the management team, they've all made it very clear that this is what they're doing, is, you know, buying PayCycle so they have a platform to put all their new payroll functionality and products on it. And so they don't plan to change anything. They want all the folks at PayCycle to lead them into the future, and they've even used those words, you know, literally. So I think it's a great opportunity for customers to actually get, you know, a lot more muscle and dollars behind the platform that they love. So it should be interesting to see, but that's the way I see it.
You know, Intuit Online Payroll launched, what, about a year, or has it been a couple of years ago?
I think it's about 15 months.
About 15 months ago. Well, do you see Intuit Online Payroll going away?
No time soon. I don't see it going away anytime soon. It's a marvelous product.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be, from everything I hear, they're, you know, figuring out how to work everything together into one platform, and that's why they wanted to buy it. So I don't know exactly what that means. If it just means going forward, they're going to try to push everybody onto PayCycle because they think that's the one that can scale better, or if I don't think they've disclosed those plans, and I haven't heard anything on it. Though what I have heard and what I can say, I think what they've said publicly is, you know, this is a platform that they want to use to put payroll customers on.
Yeah, I was talking to one of their media team the other day, and they indicated that PayCycle would live on and be where they saw their payroll heading. So, yeah, I think they concurred with that. So SaaS, from Intuit's perspective, so they're going to have Intuit, QuickBooks Online. They're going to have now PayCycle. Anything else that you know that they're doing in the SaaS world at this point?
Well, I think, so the entire Intuit partner platform is a SaaS platform, right? So they're basically they're developing SDKs and XML integration for anything that's in the desktop version of QuickBooks to get up into the cloud, so that other developers, be it the developers at Intuit or outside Intuit like Bill.com, can actually use that data effectively, efficiently, and help folks do things. So I would suspect that with the next version of QuickBooks, there'll be, you know, a fair number of apps, mini applications, if you will, that will be announced, and they will all be based on cloud computing. So to me, that's, from what I've heard and, you know, internally from folks, is that they, you know, they're saying that going forward, you know, if you're going to build something that's new, you got to make it so that it works with the IPP platform, and they're going back and looking at which parts of QuickBooks make the most sense to put on the IPP platform. So I think we'll see a lot of stuff in the next 6 months.
You know, I'm not a user of QuickBooks Online, so I haven't looked at it really for a while now. Has that been improving quite a bit? Because like you said, it felt a little stale for a while, not much happening. But you say Brad Smith is injecting more research dollars and development dollars into that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first thing they did is they had, when they started, it's, you know, this actually goes back to the first part of our conversation, when they started that development, Microsoft was clearly, you know, the dominant player in software. And so in order to make QuickBooks Online feel and look like the desktop version of QuickBooks, they used a lot of ActiveX controls, which is a Microsoft functionality and feature toolkit. And as a result, the QuickBooks Online didn't work in other browsers such as Safari or Mozilla or Firefox or any of those others. So as a result, they had a lot of restrictions and what they could do with the product. It looked a lot like QuickBooks Desktop, but it didn't take advantage of the web because it had this ActiveX control that kind of slowed it down. And I think what I've seen in the product and what I understand they're doing is kind of fixing that, you know, core, you know, issue and challenge, making it a little bit cleaner in the UI and getting it so that it does work in any browser. And then I suspect after they get all that cleaned up, then, you know, given the dollars they have, they'll be putting more and more functionality into it.
Well, one thing for sure is there's a lot of development that's related to SaaS software at this point. And I think Dave's point early on is a valid one, that we, you know, have to continue to pay attention to who we're doing business with. But I think it's that way in no matter what we do. But Dave, any other further concerns as it relates to all this, the development that's happening with SaaS?
Not really. My concerns are not about SaaS particularly, because I think there you have a lot more ability to select from companies. I mean, you were just talking about two companies I hold in very high esteem because I know the people there. I know the kind of support that they provide. I know where they've come from. I know what they do, and I know their commitment to integrity. I'm more concerned about cloud computing from an operating system and a storage standpoint than I am ever about SaaS. I'm actually pretty high on SaaS.
So your thought, though, is how we pay attention to who it is that we're doing business with, right?
Well, and even more than that, because the relationships can be very difficult to track down in a cloud environment. For example, do we have server farms being utilized in the People's Republic of China? And if there's any validity to them attempting to commit espionage, cyber espionage in the U.S., how safe is the data going to be under government policies there? I'll just say this. There are a lot of questions that nobody has started looking at in sufficient depth for us to go charging into that. And I'll leave it at that.
Good. All right, gentlemen. Well, we're about out of time today. So I think this was a good show. I think there's some great stuff happening. And I think at the end of the day, I think Dave said it best early on. I think the consumer is going to win out of all this because there's going to be some good development starting to happen in these SaaS applications. And having some competition for Microsoft, maybe even in the desktop, is not going to be a bad thing.
Competition's never bad, right? I mean, it's always good to get those competitive juices going. People think better and do better things when that's going on. So,
yeah, I agree.
I would agree. Good deal. Good deal, gentlemen. Thanks for today.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Until next month, we'll bid our audience adieu. Thanks. Bye bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.